Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour two on a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joel Klatt in about 5 minutes. He's not going to like my SEC take, but he's going to have to deal with it. Strong take, to be honest with you. Joy Taylor is joining me today. We have a little LeBron news.
We do.
Go ahead.
I love the de-escalation of LeBron announcements. So Shams Charania tweeted that LeBron has agreed to a two-year, $85 million maximum contract extension with the Lakers. Rich Paul told The Athletic that today.
Boy, so. Rich Paul's had a good year. He's making a lot of money.
Yes, I mean, very well. Went from the decision to I'm coming home article to like a tweet. Statements, and now it's just
Shams.
I mean, that's not small, but you know, not quite as dramatic as the decision.
Well, it's interesting because it was about 5-6 years ago, many people were saying that Kevin Durant was better than LeBron. I didn't buy into it, but Kevin Durant's great. Nobody disputes that. Probably the second best player in the league if he was healthy, which, you know, you cross your fingers on that. But the difference between LeBron and KD is really that LeBron is strategic and Kevin is impulsive, and it has shaped their career. That's the difference. There's a story out today that Kevin Durant denies that he had talks with James Harden. Of course he did. Kevin's impulsive. Kevin once got engaged. When asked why, he said, quote, because all my friends were doing it. Nothing wrong with that, but that's impulsive. That would be impulsive. LeBron's moves are always strategic. So he goes to Cleveland. And they cannot get him a second-rate player. And so he's like, I want to win championships. So he strategically goes to Miami and wins championships. Then he's got the titles. Now he was the NBA's villain. He's like, that's not great for my brand. It's not great for my brand. And I want to go home. And for my legacy, they got some pretty interesting pieces. Kyrie Irving can play. So he goes home, wins a championship. And then nobody in Cleveland at that point burned a jersey when he left because he delivered. Nobody was upset. Everybody, they almost understood, oh, Kyrie's out. He's going to leave. Cleveland understood it. He delivered for that. Then he goes to Los Angeles for a business move and a great brand because he wanted to, and it's been brilliant. TV shows, movies, acceleration of his net worth, mogul stage, and also it's Los Angeles. It attracts players like Miami that can elevate me as I get older and play less. Everything strategic. LeBron's moves, and I just happen to be friends, pretty good friends, with two of LeBron's best friends, and they're very smart guys. Everything's strategic. Kevin Durant tends to be more impulsive. So Kevin, and by the way, lots of people are impulsive. It doesn't mean Kevin's any less talented, but his moves, he's in Oklahoma City, and instead of like really being aggressive and going and saying, I'm better than Westbrook, what are we doing here? He's kind of passive aggressive, and he says, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Golden State. But he went from a ball-centric guard to two guards in Steph and Clay that would take a bunch of shots. And he wanted to be the man, but he went to an organization where he would never be the man because Steph is the Warriors. Kevin's more talented at his prime, but Steph is the Warriors. And then he leaves, and he's, I'm going to go, surprised all of us, Brooklyn. I thought it was going to be the Knicks. And then he goes to Kyrie, who is, at best, a little flaky. At best. That feels impulsive. So when the James Harden story came out, I thought, oh yeah, this is what you show me what you are, and I believe you. And that's not a knock. I love watching Kevin Durant. I think he's a remarkable, you know, probably one of the top 5 or 6 scorers I've ever seen in basketball. He's a 7-footer who can drive past you, put it in the deck, score, post, jam, shoot. He's really unstoppable. I have a buddy, Mark Few, that coaches at Gonzaga, and he was an assistant coach on an Olympic team one time, and he said, and it's just all great players. He said, when you see Kevin Durant with all the other great players, you're like, oh, offensively, he's way better than all of them. And it's like Harden and LeBron. It's like Kevin's one of the all-time great offensive players. but he's impulsive. And I do think it will unravel a little bit of his legacy, because I think Brooklyn's going to be at some point a little bit of a mess. But there is a big distinction between strategic and impulsive. And I always feel with LeBron, he really just, everything's about business. And by the way, he's 3 for 3. Miami worked, Cleveland worked, Lakers is working better than I thought, actually. Let's bring on the voice of college football. Joel Klatt is coming to the show, Fox NFL draft analyst, former Colorado quarterback.
It's good to see you. What's up, man?
So,
how you doing?
Sensational.
I bet. I mean, there was a lot of name dropping on that last segment. Boy, did you know he's friends with LeBron's friends, everybody?
Is that name dropping or is that
no,
accurate?
No, it's not name dropping at all, Colin. I would do it more.
So, anyway. So, let me just say this. So, I am tired of one argument. Because I am fact-based and science defender.
Oh,
it's all
great.
I'm about. It's all I'm about.
Here we go.
If I hear one more time, how can you put a 2-loss Georgia team above BYU? Because I have eyes and they're way better.
Okay.
I'm going to consider recruiting. I'm going to consider the draft. And when year after year, these SEC teams are all top 8 in recruiting.
Yeah.
And then the NFL draft, half the first round is SEC. In a subjective sport, when I have to vote, I'm going to think, well, that team's got 32 NFL guys and BYU has one. Why can't I make that? And I'm just, Auburn went 9-4. They beat Bama and Oregon. And they were the fifth place SEC team.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I don't think that the SEC is quite as strong this year as they were a year ago. And Auburn's a great point.
By the way, is anybody? Big Ten's not either.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten is down. But you could make an argument that all these teams look down because they haven't had the cupcakes to beat up on.
Well,
right, and those records aren't quite as impressive because we're playing conference
only games. Let me just stop you there. I don't think any conference is as good. Michigan's a mess. Penn State's, the Big Ten's down. Those are. I don't buy Miami Hurricanes. Pac-12. I've seen Oregon play. Sorry, Washington looks small to me. And by the way, Texas ain't working.
No, because of Notre Dame's inclusion this year, the ACC is better than it has been in the past. The SEC is top heavy this year with Bama. To your point about Georgia, though, the pushback I would give you is that it can't just be a beauty contest, right? In the Olympics, we don't just say like, well, you know, this person wins the gold medal because we just know they're better.
Why can't it be a beauty contest?
Well, because the game has to matter, right? Like, or else why do we have a scoreboard?
Well, Georgia doesn't have 6 losses. They've got 2 to Bama.
And I understand that, but they also have not played dominant football even in the last couple of weeks. Everyone's been like, boy, they've been great in the last couple of weeks. I'm like, pump the brakes. You beat a South Carolina team that just fired their coach. You played a former assistant, and Mike Bobo was the interim head coach for the South Carolina Gamecocks, who are a terrible team, by the way. You beat Mississippi State by 7. I mean, Mississippi State beat Vandy by 7. That's a winless team that's hopeless and just fired their coach. I mean, Mississippi just beat Mississippi State by the exact same score, 31-24. So I just think that this notion that Georgia has earned that spot outside of recruiting rankings is false. Now, if you want to include them, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I think that we should not rank teams based on recruiting rankings, and we should rank them based on what happens on the field, or else we don't have any way for teams to earn their way into the conversation. Okay. And I think that you're pointing more of this towards BYU. I feel some animus towards BYU.
No, I have.
Sure you do.
Utah's
because you know why? You're in the
wonderful middle
of the country, and Colin just likes to go there to ski. True story. Am I wrong?
I like skiing.
I do.
But
I know
BYU,
like,
Provo is beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Cleanest city in America. There's
beautiful.
No doubt about it. I played some minor league baseball there.
Beautiful.
And I got some friends there.
Yeah.
Friends. So what I would say about BYU, though, is you have to keep in mind that this year is so much different because, like, on BYU's original schedule, you had Michigan State, Arizona State, you had Stanford, you had Utah.
Not
like, there were all sorts of Power 5 teams that then pulled themselves off of that schedule. So BYU scrambled to keep the schedule intact at all. But here, hold on. All I'm trying to tell you is the same type of people that are sitting in the committee room telling me that BYU is no good based on their schedule are the same type of people that are preventing BYU from having a good schedule in the first place. The athletic directors. So I don't want to hold it against these kids who don't make the schedule themselves. Zach Wilson is in the Heisman conversation.
I think
he could be a first-round draft pick,
by
the way.
Yeah,
to talk about draft picks and prospects? How about the best position on the field? Georgia would trade quarterbacks for Zach Wilson in a heartbeat. So this notion that BYU is just not anywhere close to as good as Georgia, I'm not sure if that's the case this year. By the way, in the last 2 years, BYU has beaten Wisconsin, Tennessee.
Tennessee stinks.
Fine, they're one of your SEC darlings, though. They recruit better than BYU.
I didn't.
They've recruited in the top 15.
They're totally
But you just told me 2 minutes ago that recruiting is all I need to know.
No, I didn't say it's all I need to know. I said it is a strong, I am a strong proponent of looking at who do you have. Now, if Georgia had five losses, I'd be like, get out of here.
Oh, so that's what it takes. Your standard is five losses. No, you have to have five losses.
In the SEC.
But no losses for BYU in a schedule that they had to make, from the scrap heap, is no good. Like, just get out of here.
So you're giving BYU credit for games they didn't play. You're like, well, these teams backed out. Well, that's the breaks.
No, I'm also looking at the games that they did play. And while
who
their
did they
schedule,
beat?
Not a lot of great teams. Yeah, I'll be the first to admit this. However, what should a good team or a great team do against bad competition? What should they do?
Beat them by 50.
Okay, so BYU leads the country in point differential. 33.7, even better than any of the other schools in the country. They're second in the country in yard margin per game. So what are they supposed to do? Like, what's Zach Wilson supposed to do? Kalani Sitake. You tell me.
No, I'm not.
Just recruit better?
No.
What, they need to have the bag man come in? But I'm just wondering, because you're telling me that recruiting matters, so is it all about recruiting?
No, it's about 75%.
Okay, so do the games matter at all?
25%.
Okay, so if they're only mattering 25%, what are we doing? Why even play the games?
Well, for revenue, for big networks.
Oh, so it's just about revenue.
No, I think the games actually matter. But
only 25%.
If in a subjective sport, you're...
But it's not completely subjective.
No, that's why games matter too. Let's go 50-50. 50 on games, 50 on... So you have to win some
games.
Okay,
so in the biggest two games that Georgia played, they got their doors blown off, and their precious defense got hammered by Florida and Alabama.
I didn't say Georgia should be in the playoff. I just said they're better
than
BYU.
Well, you were defending their top 10 ranking.
Yeah, they're about 10th, 8th, 7th. They're better than BYU.
You know, if we actually had math that made sense. See, folks, here's the deal. Like, if you just understand math even basically, you would understand that a 13-variable equation, which is what the committee is, has a high statistical variance of each variable. Okay, so one bias here or there is going to like wildly swing the outcome.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, in the BCS system, while it only included two teams at the end, you had hundreds if not thousands of inputs, variables. So the statistical variance of those variables was much lower than what we have right now. So I'm supposed to be told that the 13 people in that room know better, even though they're the same type of people that are holding BYU down from a schedule standpoint, when all the human polls and computer polls that would have been used in the BCS would have put BYU right around 7th or 8th.
Okay, let me ask you this. Your kids' college education, BYU, Georgia play tomorrow. Who do you bet on? Georgia's going to blow them out.
I don't know if they blow them
out.
I really don't. Well, the better quarterback lies on the BYU side. I don't know what I'm going to get from Georgia's quarterback. Who's going
to
play quarterback?
He won't
DeJuan
have
Mathis
to. They'll
just
turn it off and hand it to
they
the running
They got the walk-on
backs.
Kid that didn't do much.
I don't know. I think if asked, where do you put your kids? Where do we put our 401ks?
What would be the Vegas spread? Probably 7. I would say 7.
For a drunk handicapper. They're going to blow them out by 20 points.
I don't think so. Georgia may win, but the games still have to matter. BYU's done everything asked of them, and the only reason their schedule is composed the way that it is because of the type of the people that are sitting in the committee room. I think your take is short-sighted.
No, I think, first of all, I've always argued this. The people in the committee always get ripped. The March Madness people always get ripped. Nothing against Jay Billis, but he'd be arguing, I can't believe VCU doesn't make the tournament. Listen, these people on these committees, they sit and watch games all weekend. They give up their social life to watch games. I think they're generally pretty smart.
I'm supposed to have empathy for the committee who gets
it
wrong?
But I think they're more right than wrong.
The only empathy I have for the committee is the fact that the criteria has never been set in a firm fashion for them. So they're left to their own accord. They're like children playing in a park with no rules. They're going to injure themselves. Children.
I am pro committee. I think they buy
and
large.
You're pro committee. You're also just pro like beauty contest recruiting rankings.
Well, I mean, let's face it.
Well, then, guys, Texas hasn't lost their fifth game, and their composite ranking is really high. They're going to have some draft picks. They should be in the top 10. Colin, you know what? I agree. Let's put Texas in the top 10, everybody. No, because their recruiting rankings have been really good. So they haven't had that magical fifth loss that you talked about. So Texas comes in at number 8. My new top 10, Longhorns, number 8.
The difference is the Big 12 is a pillow fight. So I don't take a Big 12 team like Tech. They can't even they can't recruit their own state. I think Tech. Let's shift to Texas.
And
here.
The SEC is?
Oh, it's great conference.
Oh, it is this year. It is. Like great teams out there. Man, did you see Vandy play last week?
Whoo!
They were so good. How about Kentucky? Man, Kentucky is really coming for it. I tell you what, South Carolina too. They just paid $13.5 million for Will Muschamp not to coach.
I can take the bottom of every conference and make fun of it.
Can you take these body blows that I'm giving you today, though?
Really? Hey, I'm Roy Jones Jr. I'm here for the fight.
I guess. Listen, if this is a draw, then...
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's talk about Texas, because I thought Tom Herman, he was aggressive. He could recruit. Urban Meyer, you know, he worked under... Urban Meyer hired him, so I know Urban hires good coaches. And he'd won. And all of a sudden, I watch in Texas. Now, I've had friends who have dealt with him, and said he's difficult and prickly.
Yeah, but how cool are these friends?
Well, I will say this.
You're the best.
Let me just say this about Texas. There's no excuse. I don't want to hear this fairness argument to lose to Iowa State. I don't give a rip about Matt Campbell.
I mean, but you
told
me. They're
bad right now.
Like the game shouldn't matter and we should just be looking at the recruiting rankings.
Texas?
In that case, let's give Tom an extension.
Be honest about Tom. You're disappointed.
Tom has underperformed, and I think he would admit that. However, it's also true that they are in better shape than when he got there. Both of those can be true. That's not me defending. That's not me taking a stance either way. The rub right now with Texas is that they are playing to their level of competition, regardless of what that competition
is. And losing.
And sometimes they lose those games, and sometimes they win those games. Mm. So in one year, like a couple of years ago when they beat your precious Georgia team in the Sugar Bowl, they played up and then won those close games. Because in large part, their offensive line played well, they ran the ball well, they did some of those things. Now they make far too many mistakes, penalties are an issue, they turn the ball over, and they don't make critical plays late in the game. And so they play to their level of competition, then they make those little mistakes, and they lose the close games. And I think that's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. I thought Tom was going to have to win the rest of his games in order to stay. I don't know this to be fact, but I know that there's a lot of animus, and I do believe that there is momentum to change down there. Now, who they're going to get, I'm not quite sure.
How many years he been there?
This is his fourth year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's a lot of years.
It's enough.
It's enough
years.
That's right. Yeah. That's fair.
In particular, to beat an Iowa State team. Even if Iowa State is playing really well, and Matt Campbell's done a great job. By the way, Matt Campbell, probably the best candidate out there in college football.
Yes, I agree. They're fun to watch. I've watched them actually last couple of years, about twice a year. They're clever.
It's Breece Hall, their running back, stated it this way. He said, 5-star culture beats 5-star players. You know, but that flies in the face of every argument you've made here today.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, snarky guy.
Do you realize, he doesn't like it when I come in here.
If you took Clemson out, just take one program in the country at Clemson. SEC wins the championship every year.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to get me to say that the SEC is not the best conference. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't allow games to matter, right?
Like I do, 50%. That's my thing. They matter 50%.
I mean, that's asinine. You can't say that, 50%.
You're right. You're right. 58%.
Oh, man.
You're asked, because all these teams outside of Bama was lose.
Well, Bama's the best team, by the way.
Easily.
We might be arguing just total moot points.
No, Bama's the best
team.
Because
Bama is right now
easily
far and away the best team in
college
football. Yes.
I mean, we thought they were. They blow out Auburn. It's like it didn't even look physically competitive. It's like, okay. No, it's just.
By the way, Mac Jones, I think he's played himself in the first round in the Heisman conversation. Watch out for Mac Jones. I told you all the way back at the beginning of the season, Mac could have a Joe Burrow type year. And while he's not going to be the number one pick, and he's certainly not Joe Burrow, I'm just saying, like, here's a guy that before the season, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Bama's got that kid at quarterback.
Yeah.
Mac Jones.
What's his strength?
Three things. He prepares incredibly well, so he understands defense, right? And you can tell his audibles that he makes, his adjustments on the field, where the football goes, his anticipation, that's number two, and then his accuracy down the field. He throws a beautiful deep ball. And granted, he's thrown to great players, but I will tell you, he throws a beautiful
deep
ball.
That ball hung in the air. That wasn't a great throw.
Oh, my
Hold
goodness.
Hold on. Let me see
what
this one right here.
What are we doing?
Okay, guys wide open.
Oh, look at that. In stride over the outside shoulder against your precious Georgia team.
Let's
Isn't
watch
Georgia
this.
The best team in the country?
Let me see this one.
Let's see, come on,
guys. Oh, he underthrew that one, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Let's watch again.
Where was the defense?
By the way,
the defense
this is
wasn't
his
there.
Highlight reel.
Boom.
That one's great.
How
but
about
the guys
that? In stride.
Wide open.
How many times do you see that?
Don't see that in the NFL, unless you're playing the Jags. Here's
My
another
goodness.
One. Let's see it. Let's watch this throw.
Nice pump fake,
Let's
too.
See this.
gets him to bite. Oh, boom, draws him right back
wide
in.
Wide open by 10 strides.
He wasn't wide open by 10 strides.
This is his highlight reel. These should be let me see. Oh, jeez. There's another guy within a football field.
You know why? Do you know why? Okay. Okay, but folks, if you don't see this playing on FS1 right now, that was a fake RPO. Okay, so he gives the play fake, and then he gives a huge pump fake to fake the slant pass to Devontae Smith. Guess what that detail-oriented football does? Fake, and then boom, a big pump fake, not just with his shoulders, but with his arm as well. The safety bites up. You know why Devontae Smith was wide open by 10 yards? Because of the detail of the quarterback position.
Oh, my God. Nonsense.
All right, I want to bet right now. Whatever you want.
Fox bet, let's go.
That Mac Jones is drafted in the first round.
Oh, he will be, no question.
Well, then what's your problem? Well, I thought that's all that mattered.
No, I don't buy into this.
You're recruiting in first round draft picks, and now you're changing your tune. I can't follow this.
Listen,
the inconsistencies run rampant.
I have to put a wet blanket on some of you hype masters out there.
Hype masters?
This is America's honesty broker. Joy is a witness. All right. I got to move on. I got big stories to break. We got a lot of stuff. Joy's got a whopper of a story coming up.
Joy, great to see you.
You too, Joel. I actually thought you explained the math part of the conversation.
I love bringing guests on who talk algebra. It's great radio.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
In 3 days, it's the fight event of the fall as undefeated Errol Spence Jr. takes on Danny Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship, available on pay-per-view or buy the fight on foxsports.com/PPV or watch on any screen you want.
It's going to be a good fight.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I will watch. All right, we got some good stuff. Big story here. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Best or nothing.
The Clippers struggled to find team chemistry last season.
They did.
And it reportedly stems from preferential treatment that was given to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. According to The Athletic, a very big story on this came out today, that those perks included personal security guards and trainers, control over the team's practice and travel schedule and their personal playing time, and later post-game media time slots. Also, Kawhi was allowed to live in San Diego, which often made him late for practices and team flights. All this was reportedly made it very difficult for the rest of the team to buy in and eventually destroy the culture that had been built in previous seasons, because obviously the Clippers kind of moved away from, you know, the Blake Griffin type era, and we're now in, like, you know, hardcore blue collar sort of rebranding of the Clippers that they had built. A scrappy team.
Yeah, they were a like it's the same thing with Brooklyn. Brooklyn and the Clippers last couple years have been a chemistry play, not a talent play.
Yes.
And then you get talent and you give them certain special gifts and the chemistry dudes don't like it.
Well, yes, but I would say a big part of this, just from reading the article, that doesn't necessarily apply in Brooklyn, that would apply here. Kyrie and KD are both champions, so they both have rings.
So Kawhi was, but Paul wasn't. So maybe it was Paul more than Kawhi teammates.
Well, Paul was a big part of it, which we heard a little bit about in the bubble, that a lot of players were not buying into Paul George. Kawhi is obviously not a vocal leader. Paul George was trying to be that, but, like, where are your credentials to be that? And because they didn't have the team chemistry going into the bubble, all that time together in the bubble, they were behind all the other teams that had that going on. I think sometimes the chemistry thing, we're not really sure how much of that is really playing into it. At the end of the day, you know, can you come together? If you're front runners, I don't know that the chemistry really matters as much. But if you're going to have to overcome something, then that is where the issues lie. Kawhi has a whole, this from reading the article, all of these things that he wants to do. He has a pregame private stretching warm-up session in certain places. They had to empty the locker room for that. So then, like, the staffers would have to go into the women's locker room. So then the women's staffers couldn't use the women's locker room. Like, it's just a trickle-down effect of, like, okay, this is a lot. Yeah. And is this really helping anyone else on the team but you?
Yeah,
like
no,
maybe this is what you do, but maybe you need to be more flexible.
Yeah, and the Clippers probably, and a lot of this was probably negotiated when Kawhi came. Like they basically, yeah. In the end, the solution in the NBA is then get other glue guys. You have to have Paul George and Kawhi. And if the chemistry guys like Montrezl Harrell don't like it, then move off chemistry guys and get. I mean, I'm going to back the stars on this, even though I think some of it sounds absurd and extreme. But James Harden is quirky. There's no other James Harden in the league, so I'm going to back the star on that.
I'm also going to back the stars. I do think that it does at some point become a self-awareness thing.
Thank you. Yeah, LeBron has demands, but LeBron's always been pretty good.
And he's very inclusive.
Yes.
So even though he is aware that he's getting extra special treatment,
yes,
he's going to try and make it feel like everyone's a part of the special treatment that he's getting.
Yeah, self-awareness has often separated the good players from the great ones in this league, and LeBron's got self-awareness.
And it also helps if you have the credentials to be in that space. So, like, while Kawhi might have been a lot, it's Kawhi and Paul George. You can't necessarily do what Kawhi does, even though you're a star, because you don't have any of these things.
That's right.
And he does.
Yeah, that's very fair. Yeah.
So another guy that has a ring, Aaron Rodgers, is proving he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league as he puts up MVP numbers this season. And on the Pat McAfee show, he took the opportunity to tell his critics that he still has a lot left in the tank.
When it comes to records, I love them and milestones. Like, I do take pride in them. I think they're more things you look back on when you're done playing. I don't think I'm done by any stretch of the imagination, even though some people may have thought so in the offseason.
Boom!
You know, I thought that they were going to struggle a little bit more this season than last season.
We'll pull
because
back.
I thought Jordan Love was going to be able to win the backup spot.
Well, also, they lost Blake Martinez, who was a tackling machine at linebacker. And that's a guy that most fans out of Green Bay don't know a ton about. But, boy, was that a loss.
They also did not – they didn't get the pick that they needed to get at the Jordan Love position. Yeah. I did not like that pick at all. I am with Nick Wright, and I'm with you. I don't believe that Aaron Rodgers needs, like, extra motivation to go be great. Like,
I don't buy that nonsense.
And listen, maybe if Jordan Love was really good, then I could buy into that a little
bit. Yeah, no, if he looked like Joe Burrow at practice.
There's a little drum beat there. We're hearing a little here, a little there. Maybe that pushed him a little bit. But he is not even the backup quarterback. He's the third string quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's not motivating Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just great. I thought they were going to have a little more chemistry issues. They obviously still needed some positions because they did not get to the Super Bowl last year despite having a great season.
It's very possible the Packers whiffed on their first and second round picks. It's very possible because that running back, A.J. Dillon, isn't getting any touches either.
I just think Aaron Rodgers has every right to be
flexing.
He does. So finally, the 49ers are still in the playoff hunt, even without Garoppolo and George Kittle in the lineup. They both have been out since getting injured in week 8. But Kyle Shanahan is still holding out hope that they'll be able to return this season. He said they're starting to get some work in on their own, and the team will see how they progress over the next couple weeks. That feels extremely optimistic.
I thought Garoppolo was coming back, though. Wasn't he?
There was a conversation that he was coming back this season.
Yes.
But, I mean, at what point? Like, if he's back for the last two games of the season, that's not how, like, is that, we really feel like they're still going to be in the hunt at that point?
It's interesting because that division beats up on each other. So if the Seahawks lose to the Rams, that's a division, like, it's not Kansas City pulling away. That's a division where I could see them winning ugly for 3 weeks in a row. Garoppolo comes back and you look up and you're like, if we win our last three games, we're a wild card team.
I think they had a nice win over the Rams.
I mean, look at them. They're 5-6. They're one game back of the Cardinals in their division. They're only two back of the Rams.
Well, their remaining schedule is Bills, Washington, at the Cowboys, at the Cardinals, and Seahawks.
The Bills game's your season. Feels like your season.
Yeah.
Got to win that one.
You have to win the Bills game. I don't know. I'm not as optimistic about the 49ers. I think it's great that they're still playing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still in the hunt without Garoppolo and Kittle. But this feels like a little bit of a stretch. I think at the end, the healthier teams are going to end up coming out on top. I think it's great that they're still competitive. But we'll see how it progresses over the next couple weeks.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Bill
news.
Belichick gushing over Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback. They play each other this week. Why the Chargers should make a run as crazy as it sounds, at Bill Belichick. I'll talk about that coming up, plus Steve Smith. Senior, probably going to get some Hall of Fame votes, all-time great receiver joining in.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Casper Mattress, 1,500 perforations create a cooling system so you sleep at night and it's cool. Boy, I slept well last night. I'm really into that melatonin stuff. 3 milligrams every other night, Joy. I'm not kidding you.
You know what you made me do? You made me get pizza yesterday.
Oh, I love pizza.
Because you mentioned it on the pre-show meeting yesterday morning, and I couldn't stop thinking about it.
I know.
So I got pizza.
You should never stop thinking about pizza.
It was good. I don't regret it. But it's your fault.
Patriots face the Chargers this weekend. Belichick talking about Justin Herbert, who, by the way, has a 101 passer rating as a rookie with no preseason. Thrown for 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 7 picks, 67% completion percentage. He's a monster. Big, strong, mobile, smart. Got a new haircut, too. Here's Belichick talking about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he's impressive. Very talented player. Tall, sees things well, has a good arm, can certainly make all the throws, is athletic, definitely escaped the pocket, smart, looks like he's going to be a good quarterback for a long time, a lot to work with, and I know he's a smart, hardworking kid that likes football, and I'm sure he'll continue to get better as he has this year throughout the course of the season. I think he's got all the tools.
I mean, listen, I like Burrow, but he's a bigger, stronger Burrow with a much better arm than Burrow, like a much better arm than Burrow. He's got to be smarter because he was a 4.2 biology major. So Herbert is just a remarkable player. The numbers he's putting up, and with a coaching staff that's doing him a disservice. By the way, they're going to hire a new coach for the LA Chargers. That's understood. They're going to do that. I'll tell you right now, you get buried in Los Angeles, you have to think about your market. You get buried in Los Angeles very fast. That's why the Lakers, they get LeBron and AD from the sports page. The Dodgers get Mookie Betts. They were winning their division, but when LeBron came to town, Dodgers are like, okay, we're getting buried here. Dodgers go get Mookie Betts. The Clippers, Kawhi and Paul George. Rams, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. They got to go big on this. I'd call Belichick and Urban Meyer. Do not go small. Do not hire a coordinator for Justin Herbert. Go big. Because this kid is an all-timer. This kid's got Elway talent. He is Andrew Luck with a better arm. That's how good I think Justin Herbert could be. Let's get Steve Smith in here. The former Pro Bowl wide receiver played in the NFL for 16 years and was a Pro Bowler for over a third of them, joining a now live NFL Network as well. And a lot of you don't know this. He's a world traveler. Guy travels all the time. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I want to ask you about this. Wide receivers, great ones, need the ball. And Brady goes to Tampa, and they got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. It's AB and Ronald Jones and Gronk. Is it possible that it could create, not animosity, but you got too many mouths to feed for Tom Brady?
No, I don't think he has too many mouths to feed. I think there is a struggle with the coaching staff to figure out how to do it and also do it the way that Brady is comfortable doing it. Sometimes coaches get so creative in the X's and O's, and my coworker uses this all the time, Mike Robinson, but allowing the Jimmys and Joes to actually make the plays. When you draw up a great, fantastic play, it has no heartbeat. Those little X's don't move. In the real world, on the field, they move, right? They had a great concept on how to cover Tyreek Hill in the defensive meeting room in air condition on a piece of paper. But that guy got on the field and Davis was in trouble. And he found out real quickly how much he was in trouble. So that's just an example of why you can't do so much coaching that you lose the ability to let the game speak for itself.
Where are you right now? Lamar Jackson will not play against the Steelers. He will play against the Cowboys next week. Where are you with Lamar Jackson right now, his development, and where he's at, Steve?
It's a struggle right now because obviously having so much ties to that organization and also being an offensive-minded guy, you can't put it all on Lamar, and here's why. Lamar is not calling his play. He's not sitting at the line of scrimmage, audibling into and out of plays like we see here in Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater, or we've seen in the past a Ben Roethlisberger or a Tom Brady, Drew Brees. He's getting a call in and flipping up his wristband and looking at all those things. And so I don't believe it's fair to put all this on him as if he's calling his own plays. He's not. He is calling what they are giving him. And the game plan is starting to catch up with them. People are starting to figure them out. And they have to make – Greg Roman needs to make some adjustments because his quarterback is getting the brunt of it all. But it's not Lamar. I hate to say it. It's not Lamar, and it's not the lack of weapons they have, because you don't throw the ball, right? And they run a RPO, which is run pass option. They run a RO, run option, and very few P's in the pass.
Where are you on Carson Wentz these days? Three offensive linemen out with injuries. Alshon Jeffrey kind of looks shot. Where are you at with Wentz these days?
I mean, I like Wentz. He has a strong arm, but he also, since they won the Super Bowl, you can see he struggles and he tries to always make the big play.
Yeah.
He is trying to show everyone that it was my team. It was. But Nick Foles won that. And then also, too, is I like Doug Peterson, but he seems to – all these guys that have been under Andy Reid are trying to outdo Andy Reid, Matt Nagy. They're so creative, but they aren't Andy Reid. Stop trying to outdo the teacher and just be the student, right? The only guy that seems to have gotten it together a little bit is Frank Wright.
Yeah.
But all the guys that have been under Andy Reid are – They're throwing the ball. They're doing all this stuff. They're doing this fancy stuff, and it's coming to bite them in. It's coming to bite them in the butt, to be honest.
Where are you with Cam Newton today? Would you sign him for another year? Draft a quarterback? Where are you on Cam?
I think you really have to look at this team. New England Patriots have a number of issues defensively. They're stout, but they do have some guys on offense. You desire a little bit more. And so I think it is an unfair assessment to say, where is he? Because also, too, we're not in the locker room. We're not on the practice field. The reason why they're running these plays is because of this. We don't really know, but we do know, based on his history, you're showing it right here, 9 of 18 for 84 yards. That is not a Cam Newton that we all have known to love and dislike. There are a lot of people that dislike him. There's a lot of people that love him. But 9 for 18 for 84 yards and 2 interceptions, that's not the Cam Newton that we all know. And so, and that's not even a quarterback for the New England Patriots that we all know. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish out the season. And when they finish out the season, how does it really go? Does it go good, or does it really fall apart, or do they squeak one out and then get blown out in the playoffs?
Okay, Steve Smith, NFL Network, every Thursday, NFL game day kickoff leading up to Thursday Night Football. It's great seeing you. Come on anytime, and happy to have you on, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Steve Smith, Sr. I saw him play at Utah. That's how old I am. He was great at Utah. Tough guy. He's a tough guy. One day I was at a restaurant, Manhattan Beach, and he walked in. He just got back from, like, South Korea. He, like, travels all over the world. He's, you know, he's just like an adventurer. The Justin Herbert thing is really fascinating because – let me go back to that. We started the segment with this. So Belichick plays Justin Herbert bragging about him. In Los Angeles, it's just so many things to do. USC football, Clay Helton, nice guy, not much of a presence. They've disappeared. It used to be like a Laker USC town. USC's disappeared. Anthony Lynn, nice guy, not a huge media presence. They've disappeared. Like, if you're the Chargers, it's not just about winning. You have to create a presence or you'll disappear in this city. This is not Indianapolis. This is not New Orleans. People don't show up to the games. You have to get them to the games, unless you're like the Dodgers and your family's been going for 100 years to the Dodger games. Then you Laker games. But when you're new in town in Los Angeles, when you're new in town, you have no history.
Yeah, they're not a legacy team.
You got to go big. You got to get Urban Meyer on the phone or Belichick. And you just say, "Oh, you know, Belichick, I'm going to mostly give you the, I'm going to let you do what you did in New England. $10 million a year, run it." To me, when you don't have legacy in a town like Los Angeles, you have got to go over the top with a coaching hire. Hour three next.